Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the fourth chapter. John 4. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1118. Make that 1119. We'll read responsively verses 9 through 14. The text verse being the 14th verse. John chapter 4, verses 9 through 14. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Read the verses responsively, please. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's pray. And Father, thank you for your word. Bless the preaching of it, the hearing of it, in a mighty and wonderful and miraculous way. Meet with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wish I had 2 hours this morning to totally, well, not totally, but at least to more completely accomplish the explanation
and teaching and preaching of this truth. I want to speak this morning on the subject, are you alive or are you living? Are you alive or are you living? I'm going to preface it before I pray with this comment. Heaven is more than just the satisfying of all our present needs. That's what we think of heaven as being. We have pain here. Heaven, we won't have any pain. That's true, but a whole lot more than that. We have sorrow here, but in heaven we'll have no sorrow. Heaven's a whole lot more than that. We weep here, but in heaven there'll be no more weeping. And that's true, but heaven is an awful lot more than that. I'm going to show you this morning, but you're going to have to follow me carefully. If I had an hour and a half, I could repeat enough to where I think you'd all understand it, even if you casually listened. But if you listen carefully this morning, I'm going to tell you something about the Christian life and also heaven and also eternal life. As I speak on the subject, are you alive or are you living? Father, I'm just itching to get this truth over to my people this morning. I really want to, but I can't do it unless they listen. If I had some trick to hold their attention, I believe I'd use it this morning. I don't have time for that. So I pray that you'd help everybody to pay rapt attention to this sermon with their minds and their ears. Please, help us. Amen. I'm going to make several statements this morning, one after the other, as I begin. I want you to follow me carefully as I do. I want to say first, God made us to be satisfied. God made us to be satisfied. Now listen to this. Second, God made us to be dissatisfied. I said God made us to be satisfied. And then God made us to be dissatisfied. In order that He may satisfy us, in order that we may again be dissatisfied, in order that He may satisfy us again, in order that we may again be satisfied, in order that He may satisfy us again, and on it goes. Statement number 3. Dissatisfaction is the key to all progress. Now, I really want you to hear me. Now, I'm going to help you this morning, but if you'll hear me. Dissatisfaction is the key to all progress. And dissatisfaction is as important in the Christian life as satisfaction. We sing, nothing satisfies but Jesus. We sing, take the whole world and give me Jesus. He satisfies. He satisfies. We sing, I'm satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is my Master satisfied with me? Now hear me carefully. Jesus did come to satisfy all of our appetites, but he also came to dissatisfy us. Because if we're dissatisfied, there's hope for progress. And dissatisfaction is the key to all progress. Somebody was dissatisfied with the horse and buggy, so they worked on a car. Somebody was dissatisfied with traveling by ground, so they worked on an airplane. Somebody was dissatisfied with a lamp, kerosene lamp, so they worked on the incandescent lamp or the electric light. You see, all human progress is caused by dissatisfaction. The next statement I want to make, man's greatest need, now this is the most important statement of the morning, man's greatest need is to have a need. Man's greatest need is to have a need. Miserable is the man that has no needs. If he has no needs, he has no goals. If he has no needs, he has no ground to accomplish. If he has no needs, he has no battles to fight. If he has no needs, he has no worlds to conquer. If he has no needs, he has no heights to climb. So I'm saying that man's greatest need is to have a need. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. Now, that does not only mean he'll supply the satisfaction of all your needs, but he'll satisfy the needs themselves. He'll give you what you ought to need. He will give you your appetite, and then he will give you the fulfillment of your appetite. When I came to Hammond 27 years ago, the first thing I had to do, was before I could make you like my preaching, was to help you have an appetite for my kind of preaching. And I worked awful hard for the first year or two I was here trying to develop in you an appetite for the kind of preaching that I hoped to give you so that my preaching could satisfy your appetite. Now listen carefully. Man has a need, and God said he will supply those needs. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's not just talking about he'll fulfill the desires. That's also talking about he'll give you the desires. He will he'll give you what to want, and then he'll give you what you want. He'll give you what to need, and then he'll give you what you need. So, man's greatest need is to have a need. And God is certainly good to man when God gives man his needs and his appetites in order that we may know the great joy of having an appetite satisfied. You have no appetite, you'll never know the joy of having it satisfied. You have no need, you'll never know the joy of having that need filled. So, as I said, man must have new fields to conquer. Man must have new heights to climb. Man must have new worlds to explore. So, next statement, God attaches, now hear this carefully, God attaches a new need to the end of each fulfillment. Did you hear what I said? Now listen, I'm going to teach you this morning more about eternal life than you've ever learned in your life, if you'll follow me. God attaches a new need to every fulfillment. Every time you have a hunger, God comes and God gives you the satisfaction for that hunger. But on the back side of that satisfaction is a new hunger. For if you never hunger again, you'll never know the joy of satisfaction again. You know, suppose, for example, that I could say, I'm going to have lunch at my house for all of you today, and I've got something I'm going to serve you. And if you'll just eat, it's a cheeseburger. It has ground beef, melted cheese, and onions, and a tomato, and lettuce, and ketchup, and mustard, and it's a cheeseburger. Now, here's the good thing about that cheeseburger. You eat this cheeseburger one time, and you'll never get hungry again. You'll never have those gnawing pains again. Isn't that wonderful? You'd say, what's so wonderful about that? I want to get hungry again for another cheeseburger sometime. Several times a day. I want to get hungry for it. Can you imagine the joy that would be taken from life if you didn't ever get hungry again? And God knows that. So when God gives you the fulfillment of an appetite, God gives you on the backside of that appetite a new appetite so you can want something else, so you can get something else, so you can want something else, so you can get something else. And a part of God's gift of you, of giving you what you need is giving you another need. When you accomplish a goal, God gives you another goal. When you come to a height, God gives you another height. So, God attaches a new need to the end of each fulfillment. Now, listen to a few statements I'm going to make. Hence, fullness is always looking for hunger. Fullness is always... Look, you know what it's like to end a Thanksgiving dinner. And you have grown 2 inches closer to the table during the dinner. And you got that stuffed feeling where a burp is almost a regurgitation. And you go like a sow in the pen and lay down on the bed and you think you'll die. But as you leave, you say, what a pity to leave all that good stuff. And do you know what? The good thing about it is that you leave that about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 3:30 at halftime, you're ready for more. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be terrible to eat a turkey that'd never make you hungry for turkey again? I'm not talking about you turkeys over here. But wouldn't it be wonderful or awful if we never got hungry again? And God knows that. And God knows that every fulfillment of every need, if it's the end, it's not joy. So, consequently, fullness is always looking for a hunger to fill. And hunger is always looking for fullness. And fullness is looking for another hunger to fill. Hence, strength is looking for a weakness to be made strong. Let's suppose, for example, and I said to you, I've just discovered something. You take this pill before you go to bed tonight. And if you'll sleep 8 hours, you'll never get sleepy again. Man, I wouldn't want to miss again the joy of laying there in that bed wanting to stay there. To me, there's no joy like being in a motel room and I got the alarm there beside me. And I wake up and I say, oh, my soul, it's probably time to get up. Look over there, it says 2:45. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's nothing quite like it. And I wouldn't want to miss that again. I don't want not to get tired again. I want to get tired again because I enjoy the fulfillment of that in rest. And I'm saying that life is that way. Strength is looking for a weakness that it may make strong. And weakness is looking for strength. And strength, when it comes, brings with it another weakness. And the weakness, when it gets there, is looking for more strength. And that's basically what eternal life is. Every answer brings with it a new question to answer. The answer seeks the question. The question seeks the answer. The answer leads to another question. And the question seeks another answer. And that's what eternal life is. There comes with every satisfaction of an appetite, a new appetite that once again we may know what it is to hunger, that we may know the joy of being full again, and the fullness comes and brings with it a new hunger. Every quenching is looking for a new thirst to quench. Every solution comes with a built-in new problem. For example, you and your wife are looking at that dream home. It's the one that you're going to... Your dream home is not a place. It is the next one you can afford. It's not a home. It's the next one. And so, finally, oh, you get it. And the loan goes through. There's not a more joyful time in life that brings more misery. The loan goes through. and through and through and through and through. And it never is through, but it goes through. So you move in that little home and you take your furniture that you had before. And the satisfaction of that appetite, all of a sudden, your wife says, this furniture doesn't fit in this house. This is early American, very early American. So what happens? The satisfaction of the appetite in the house create a new appetite. That's the furniture. So you have that appetite, and you save, and you save, and you get the furniture. And now then, I'm satisfied. Oh, but there's no carpet on this floor under the furniture. So you get the carpet. And that creates an appetite for new drapes. So you get the drapes. By that time, the house is worn out. You got to get a new house. Now look, that's life, but it's also eternal life. The great joy of eternity will be having our needs supplied. But if we have no needs, we won't have but one. Look, to most people, the only happy day in heaven is going to be the first day. I don't cry anymore. I don't weep anymore. I don't sorrow anymore. I'll never die again. I'll never be sick again. Woo! And that's it. That's first day. But ladies and gentlemen, God gives you that first day some new needs up in heaven in order that He may satisfy those needs, that He may give with that satisfaction to you another need, that may be satisfied. And that's what eternal life is. It is God giving you forever new needs, new satisfaction, new needs, new satisfaction, new needs, new satisfaction for eternity. Knowledge seeks for ignorance. The most knowledgeable people in this room are searching for ignorance. Knowledge seeks for ignorance. Brother Larry, you found it. Knowledge seeks for ignorance. So ignorance can seek for more knowledge. And if with knowledge there does not come more ignorance, you will never seek any more knowledge. You understand that? And so if... You don't understand that. I can't help it. You understand that? So when you achieve knowledge, that knowledge with it brings more ignorance, that you may seek more knowledge, that you may obtain more knowledge, that you obtain more ignorance, so that you can seek more knowledge, so that you can obtain more knowledge. That's what heaven is. We are to use what we know with which to search for what we don't know. Hence, and here's an important statement. Every end becomes a means to another end. Every end becomes a means to another end. That's what my preaching's all about. I don't preach, I hardly ever preach a sermon unless there is an end to it that can create another, that can be used for a means. When I come to the close of the sermon, that's not the close. I've come to the end of that sermon, but the end is to give you means wherewith to search for another end. And this is the great joy of life. Knowledge seeks ignorance, and ignorance seeks knowledge, and knowledge seeks ignorance, and ignorance seeks knowledge. And need seeks supply, and supply seeks a need, and need seeks a supply. And strength seeks a weakness, that it may give it strength, that it may give it another weakness, so it can seek more strength. And rest seeks weariness in order that weariness may find rest, so that rest can bring more weariness. And the satisfaction or fulfillment of an appetite brings with it another appetite. So we know the joy a victory brings with it another battle, so we can keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You'll never come to the place in heaven. You'll never come to the place where you know it all. You know why? If you knew it all, you wouldn't have any more joy of finding knowledge. You think God's going to put us in heaven someday and we'll know everything so we'll never know the joy of learning something? Why, man, I sat on the airplane studying this thing right here and I had a hooping time. You think this is the last I'm going to learn? Not on your life. I'll be on an airplane again tomorrow. I'm simply saying that, look, I can hear a fellow preach a sermon, and if the guy's been thinking and praying and studying, I can tell it, and I can, and boy, He opens up avenues all over to me. I get 5 or 6 good sermons every time I hear a good sermon. Why? Because the achieving of a goal opens up new goals. This is the law of growth. Nobody grows if he arrives. Nothing worse than a young preacher who thinks he's arrived. If you have arrived and that arrival did not give you a new beginning, then you haven't got a godly arrival. Now follow me carefully. I'm not sure anybody's understanding me, but I'm enjoying it. Follow me carefully. Everybody in the world is dissatisfied. Now hear me carefully. The unsaved man is dissatisfied, and the saved man is dissatisfied. Now, what is the difference? Here's the difference. Now, look at me very carefully. I want this microphone right here, please. Good. All right. Now follow me very, very carefully. The unsaved man... Would you get your big feet out of the way, John? The unsaved man... there's more than big feet sitting there, I see. The unsaved man, he's dissatisfied, so he comes to a certain appetite, and he satisfies it. Now, that's the end of that appetite in the world. Now, to get a new appetite, he's got to go back like this and go over here and go toward a new endeavor. See, the world is alive but doesn't live. Eternal life, I'll show you that in a minute. So the unsaved man or the world, you go toward satisfy this appetite and you get it satisfied. But the world's satisfaction never brings with it a new appetite for the same thing. So you fill up with this, and so you go back here again, and you go over here, and you come, and you get an appetite satisfied in the world, and there's another one. And what do? You come, you go from here to here to here to here to here to here, but I still want this on. But you use them up. After a while, you're going to use them all up. The hippie says he goes into his dope for a while. That doesn't set he gets satisfied there, but there's no new goal, and so he turns around. He tries being a Jesus freak for a while. He'll try the Jesus fad. He'll dig Jesus for a while. He'll try that. Then he'll try alcohol for a while. Why? Because the world can satisfy you, but it never opens new avenues of appetites along the same place. You get to the end, and to have another appetite, you've got to go into another area. Let me show you what Jesus does. What Jesus does, I have an appetite, and I go toward it, and I get it filled. And then I end that same road. There's another appetite, and I go toward it, and I get it filled. And there's another appetite, and I go toward it, and I get it filled. And another appetite, and I go toward it, and never fail. And that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is, basically, it's the law of all life. Eternal life is that there's life within death, and that everything has inside of it new life. The world doesn't have that. Brother, when you get to the end of the disco, there's no other expiration of the disco. When you get to the end of rock music, there's an end of it and no place else to go. So you go from the disco, then to rock music, then to dope, then to drink, then to dancing, then to nightclubs, and then to all the rest of it. But blessed be God, the truth of God will never be exhausted. And so you come to a truth, and that truth, you say, oh, what a truth! And God said, don't leave, I've got another hunger for you. And you say, I'm hungry again. Let me have more truth. And you get it. Oh, what a truth. And God said, don't leave. I'll make you hungry again. And you get hungry again. And you find another truth. And God says, don't leave. I've got another truth for you. And I'm saying, listen, that which God gives has life within it that sustains the same type of life that it had. That's what eternal life is. Are you alive or living? If you're shooting for pleasure, you're alive. Because when you get to the end of that pleasure, there's no new avenues that open up. Blessed be God. Eternal life is when you come to something that satisfies an appetite And in that same life, form of life, there is a new hunger that opens up. You take this book. It's inexhaustible. I'm on the airplane. I'm going to California. I'm reading the Bible. Stewardess comes by, says, "You want a magazine, sir?" "No, ma'am." Fellow beside me says, "I want a magazine." He reads it. He calls her back again. He says, "Could I have another one?" She gives him another one. He reads that. He calls her back and says, "What do you got? What are the magazines you got?" He sits there and reads magazine after magazine after magazine. Why? Because the magazine is filled with truth, maybe, that offers no more ignorance. It is the world's knowledge, and it is not living. It's alive, but not living. But I am reading God's blessed old book. Every time I find the truth in that book, it opens up a hunger. I've got to find more. And I search it, and finally I find it. Bless God! And it opens up more. And I've been reading the Bible on airplanes for 35 years and haven't quit reading it yet. And they never have to publish a copy every month. They're doing it, but it's not the Bible. Why? It's inexhaustible. It's living. Not just alive, but living. Oh, my soul, that's what heaven is. Heaven is not God taking every appetite you've got down here and satisfying it all in one day. Never cry anymore, never sorrow anymore, never get sick anymore, never die anymore. Whoopee! It's not all of it. God gives you a new appetite in heaven to learn more about Himself. He ever liveth. He's alive. Jesus is not just alive. He's living. He's the living Savior. Not the alive Savior. The living Savior. That's the wonderful thing about prayer. Every time you get a prayer answered, God attaches with the answer another hunger to know Him better. And you hunger again and hunger again and hunger again. And all of a sudden the blessed answer comes and in sweetness the fulfillment comes. But God justice does not give the answer alone. God gives you with that answer another desire so He can fill it. So He can give you another answer with another desire so He can fill it. So He can give you another answer and another desire so you can fill it. He can fill it. What is it? That's what it's all about. You get in the Bible. The Bible is not alive. It is living. Never exhausted, never ended, always new truth. And every truth brings with it a desire for another. And every strength brings with it a new weakness. Do you ever know anybody like that? That's why the friends in the world are so cheap and sorry. I guarantee you, you get to know these Hollywood movie stars and you'll get sick of them within a week. But I'll tell you somebody who's living. You know what I'm talking about. You've got a few old crabs who are alive, but I'm talking about somebody who's living. It seems like just to get with them is a new exploration. And every time you're with them, you say, "Boy, that was great. I enjoyed that." By the time you're gone 5 minutes, you say, "Boy, I'd like to have some more time with him." Why? He's living. And every time you're with Him, He gives you a satisfaction, a fulfillment, but that isn't all. There's also a hunger for more. And that's what heaven is. And that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is living and being born 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 and enlarging and enlarging and enlarging and enlarging. That's what heaven's all about. I wouldn't be happy if I didn't have some need. I was trying to get filled. I wouldn't be happy if I wasn't doing some work that was unfinished yet. Well, I can't imagine. They call it losing your vision. Well, there's no vision if people perish. I get to heaven, brother. I plan to still have some vision. I got some more things I'm going to do when I get to heaven. What are they? I don't know what they are. Didn't know what I was going to do now, 25 years ago, but I know what I'm doing now, and I've got some goals, and I've got some appetites I want to get filled, and bless God, when they get filled, I want some more. One reason why retirement sometimes is death and not life. No more goals to conquer, no more battles to fight, no more heights to climb, no more worlds to conquer. You know, when I first started preaching, I've said this often, when I first started preaching, I used to worry what I was going to do when I got the Bible all preached. I mean it. Listen, I could teach through Romans in two services back in those days and tell all I knew. I can recall preaching through Romans verse by verse, and I got through and I thought, good night, that's one whole book. I only got 66 more, and I taught it in about 6 weeks. Man, I'll get through the Bible. I'll have to leave churches. I've changed churches so I can go back and preach the Bible again. I'm not sure I'm telling you the truth right now, but I think I am. I honestly believe with all of my heart I could preach the rest of my life as this church on John 3:16 every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and never be anything less than fresh. Believe with all my heart. Why? That's eternal life. Eternal life, ladies and gentlemen, is when a fullness is, when an appetite is filled. But with the fullness, God gives you a new appetite. That it may be filled. That He may give with that fullness a new appetite. It is strength. Looking for a weakness so it may be strengthened. So it may, when it's strengthened, bring with it another weakness. So strength looks for weakness and weakness looks for strength. And knowledge looks for ignorance, and ignorance looks for knowledge. And fulfillment looks for appetite, and appetite looks for fulfillment. And quenching looks for thirst, and thirst looks for quenching. And answer looks for a question. Question looks for an answer. That's what the Christian life is all about. I'm 60 years old in a few weeks. 53 days to be exact. I've been reminded several times this morning by my shimmy eyes. And other hecklers. I'll be 60. The Bible's never been as fresh to me as it is today. Never has. Prayer has never been as wonderful to me as it is right now. I mean that with all my heart. God, here's what I'm saying. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy it today. Never have. You know why? I don't know why. Because, brother, I've been living all these years. I've been living. I'm not just alive. I'm living! When you're alive, the answer comes and that's it. When you're living, inside every tree there is another. There are other trees. And inside every little sprout there are other sprouts. And inside every little pecan there are other pecans. That's living. But the dirty, rotten, cheap world. That's why it has to advertise so much. That's why it has to glitter so much. You know why? Because it knows when you get through with that, there's no other appetite that follows. The world can satisfy you, but you won't be satisfied unless you have another appetite. Man's greatest need is to have a need after he has his need fulfilled. What a life. And what a prospect. And what a place heaven must be. Where for eternity we continue seeking for the fulfillment of our appetites. And with that fulfillment, God says, let me give you another one. Let me give you another one. Thank God. That's what eternal life is. There is within every answer another question that makes you want another answer. There is within every fulfillment another appetite that makes you want another fulfillment. Somebody said, oh, can't wait till I get to heaven where I'll never want a thing. It's not true. It's not true at all. I'll keep on wanting in heaven. But the answer is, I'll never want anything that's not right to want. And I'll never want anything that I won't get. And I'll never want anything that will keep me from wanting anything else. I'll never learn a truth that will not bring with it a desire for more truth. And then, on and on. That's why my preaching is eternal. That's why I can't quit.
The preacher who's alive says, and now, beloved, we come to our last point. And he says in his own mind, I'm glad it's getting there. Dallas Cowboys are on right now.
That's a fellow who's alive. But the living preacher, while he's preaching, he says, I've got a truth to tell you. And all of a sudden he tells the truth at noon. And the truth gets hungry. truth, and another one jumps up there, and that's why he keeps on, keeps on, keeps on. And that's why you never get home, get to McDonald's in time to get the warm first hamburger. You know why? Because blessed be God, I may not be a good preacher, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I'm not just alive. I'm living. Our Father, I pray you.